Welcome to the Student Affairs Spectacular, the weekly podcast giving you a front row seat to the greatest student affairs show on earth. And now your ringmasters, Tom Kriegelstein and Dustin Ramsdell.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to this episode of the Student Affairs Spectacular podcast. Dustin here. This is episode number 38 with the one and only Paul Gordon Brown, who does a lot of different things. But for our purposes today, we really wanted to focus in on his awesome blog and talk about sort of the art of blogging in student affairs and how he does what he does on his personal blog and how other folks can kind of jump in if they're interested or just why it's really an important topic to delve into in the first place. So if you have not checked it out already, go to Paul Gordon Brown's website, which will be linked below, and all his other social media stuffs and a lot of other cool stuff linked in the show notes. But this is a fun episode, so sit back and enjoy it. It's episode number 38 with Paul Gordon Brown. Okay, looks like... Okay, that's good. So, yeah, how is like the weather and stuff down in Boston? I feel it's been like so crappy up here in Maine lately.
Yeah, I mean, it's cold, but you know, there's no snow. So
right.
I can't complain. In fact, one of my friends in Buffalo was posting pictures and I was like, oh.
Yeah, just
just
shudder at the sight of it.
Right, and I grew up in Rochester, so like I know what that snow is like, and Buffalo usually gets it even worse than Rochester would. So it's not fun, but it's not been bad.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, it just seems like it's another weird, like, fall winter. Just, like, this amount of snow we're getting so far. Like, it just seems like that's weird. I guess I don't know how it's ever supposed to be, but it is always, like, this seems like it's, this is what it's supposed to be. Like, it's a lot of snow, like, really early.
Right. I think I've gone on record, though, for Boston anyways, maybe not other parts of the country. For Boston, we're going to get a mild winter. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
I feel it in my bones.
Just,
I do. It's gonna be cold, yes, but we're not gonna get dumped on like we did last year. Everyone else will get that.
Right.
We'll be okay.
Well, we surely hope so. But yeah, just to kind of kick things off real quick, just as we always do, kind of give your introduction, your student affairs story, and we'll sort of get into the history of the blog and stuff afterwards, but just kind of start with your story.
Okay. Sure. Well, I grew up in Rochester, New York, home of Eastman Kodak Company, which is not quite the same company it was when I grew up, but grew up there. Did my master's work at Western Illinois University, so went out to the Midwest and then slowly made my trek back to the East. I worked at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, for 4 years, working in residence life for two and then over in the honors program for two more. And then moved on to American University in Washington, D.C., where I worked squarely in residence life, but collaborating with academic partners quite a bit in a few different roles. I had three different titles over the course of 5 years while I worked there, which ultimately led me to Boston. So I've been here now for just over 3 years, a full-time PhD student, kind of hustling, doing lots of different jobs to make ends meet. So teaching, I taught in the Boston College program. I teach in the Merrimack College higher ed program and do all sorts of random things, speaking engagements, consulting trips, things like that to kind of make ends meet. So it's been an exciting time the past 3 years because I've done a lot of things that are experimental or new or different. So I kind of am my own boss in a few ways. So
yeah,
it's been a fun journey.
Yeah, it does sound really cool. And it's neat that you've got to see so many different places and like different parts of the country and how like different colleges work and stuff. But and I get like you have done so many different things and you've I'm sure learned a lot. And I know with your blog, like some of the things that you like I've seen you've told me about and stuff is like how you sort of infuse like just all your knowledge and kind of just putting it out into the world, which I think is a really great thing. But how did it all kind of start for you to like get that site rolling and start sharing all that knowledge with everybody?
Yeah, you know, the blog started about 3 years ago. I've always been somewhat of a tech nerd, design person. I've never been formally trained in design, but it's something I've been passionate about. I mean, I mentioned I grew up in, you know, the home of Eastman Kodak Company. My father worked for Kodak for 40 years.
Right.
And so photography, visual kind of design has always been in my history. And in fact, my sister is a curator and works in art history and photographic kind of history, mm-hmm. as well as my brother-in-law's a photographer. So I'm around a lot of visual people. And so 3 years ago, when I started the PhD process, I knew I wanted to do something related to tech. And social media is really the place where the most interesting things, I think, are happening in terms of intersecting with student development. And so I made a point of, well, if I'm talking about this stuff, I probably have to engage in it more. And so that's really what started me on the on this blog journey.
Mm-hmm.
It really kind of accelerated when I took this class. There's a class at Boston College called Social Media for Managers out of the business school. And it's required as part of that course that you blog about every 2-3 weeks
mm-hmm.
And read other people's blog posts. And so when I did that, that's what really started me on this journey. That's when I started posting more regularly, was through that class. And they have a class blog, which is pretty interesting. I can send that to you later. You might put it in the show notes.
Sure.
But folks talk about an interesting thing, and that's how it started. And then I've just kind of, it's ebbed and flowed, but really probably within the last year, I've been more regular about posting. And within the past 3 months or so, I post every day now. So Monday through Friday, I post once daily. So kind of at full steam at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, getting to that point over the course of the past 3 years, like what has been, I guess you sort of noted a little bit of it, but maybe you can take it a different way of just like what drives you. Cause I think, you know, you sort of started it at a time when it was sort of required. So I might have built that discipline, but obviously like you're saying, things ebb and flow. Like how have you kept sort of the relative discipline to always be posting something at some point, you know, somehow, cause I feel like that's a thing for a lot of people is that they'll start something like a blog because it's free and they'll, you know, do something with it for a while, but then it sort of just kind of fades away. They just maybe never come back to it at all. So what kind of keeps you, you know, driven to keep up with it?
Yeah. Well, for me, I think it's because it intersects with my work so closely. So, you know, I mentioned my dissertation work is related to social media, related to tech. And so, using those tools and interacting that way intersects so much with my research. So it helps advance that. I also think it helps for me, too, that it intersects with the fact that I do a lot of speaking engagements and consulting and things like that. Part of doing that work is you have to get your name out there and you have to establish an expertise and an authority. And so that kind of pushes me to make sure that I'm putting myself out there to make those connections to advance my career. So it's very intertwined with my career. That's what motivates me. But, you know, not everyone has that goal or not everyone does that. They do blogging for a lot of different reasons. And I think some of the other ones that keep me motivated are just the connections that I can make with other people. I've met some amazing people just through blogging and then promoting those blog posts and talking about them or reading other people's work. I have an RSS feed that has all the different blog posts of any student affairs higher ed person that I found that does personal blogging. And so I try to read everyone's work or at least look through it. And that's been also very motivating, is making those connections and really getting an overwhelming response from people that have been really positive about the stuff that I put out there. And so that certainly is a big motivator.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, being part of kind of like a community that either like keeps you honest or keeps you like inspired and stuff for sure is like a big piece. And I know something you kind of like when we were talking about doing this episode, you were saying how like sort of your workflow, I think, is something that I haven't really necessarily heard from anybody else, of just how you've like, I guess maybe, I don't know if you had like a chunk of free time that you at least like brainstormed ideas for posts, but you sort of had, you say like you had everything kind of scheduled out like for, you know, the greater part of the year. Like how did that kind of happen for you, or how did you do that? Because that seems so really, really interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm lucky in that I'm a full-time PhD student. So a lot of the work that I do in terms of like prepping for class or to teach a class or other things happens in my own home. So I'm home a lot more. I don't go to an office every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives me a lot of flexibility with time to put these things together. And so, you know, I also produce a lot of content just in terms of other things that I do. And so I like to think about how can I take some of the content that I'm doing and repurpose it maybe for a blog post. So if I'm preparing a slide deck to give a presentation for something, can I turn that into a post in and of itself or share it? If I'm writing something as part of my program, is there a snippet of that that I can take out and make into a blog post? And so trying to double up and use some of the other stuff that I'm doing really helps that out. Also finding pockets of time where I do have an opportunity to just spend some time banging out some posts and getting those ready to go for the time periods when I'm really busy helps out a lot too. But yeah, I'm scheduled through now. I think I'm down to the end of January. So we'll see how that goes. If I have a life transition, man, it's all over.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, get out of this below. Yeah.
So I can't hold myself to that once that job search starts and all that stuff. But yeah. Right now I'm in a good place. It's also, if I don't want to write my dissertation, it's sometimes more fun to write a blog post. So.
Yeah, it's how it goes sometimes, where it's just like you have like that one thing to do and you do everything else kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I kind of got into that when I started wanting to write and stuff. It's just sort of like if I wrote something that was really relevant to me, like for my grad papers and stuff, I would just sort of like, you know, filter it down to its like most important things and make it into a blog post. So I feel like a couple of the things that I'm kind of hearing already that, you know, could be like useful tips if people want to get into writing is sort of like intertwining it, you know, really with what you are into anyway. So like, I'm very much into like geeky stuff and I always like connect it to the Green Lantern or Spider-Man or Star Trek or like, you know, whatever I'm watching right now. Like, I'll kind of connect that because it just comes naturally and I want to talk about it. But then also, like you're saying, like you're already probably, or professionals out there are probably already writing stuff that would be relevant for an audience. So it's almost, yeah, you can kind of double dip or, you know, just put stuff out there that you're already producing. So
right. And you know, I posted something recently about higher education as a public good versus a private good and some of the back and forth that's going on in states right now, and I posted it, and my friend Adam, who's in my PhD program with me, said, "Oh, that looks familiar," because he knew it came from a paper. It was something we had written about, and I said, "Well, you know, I've got all this writing that I've done that just sits on my hard drive and does nothing, so why can't I take that out, kind of dust it off, make it more blog appropriate, because usually it's written more in an academic angle, so make it a little bit more informal and accessible, and put it up there, because otherwise it's just sitting on my computer doing nothing. So might as well share it and get some thoughts going."
Yeah, which I think is also like, which, you know, it's just part of that I love, is sort of just like this free access to information and stuff, and especially in the light of like you know, all these papers and stuff, like you're saying, it's like it just sort of sits there somewhere and like doesn't get to see the, you know, like the world doesn't get to see it, you know. And it's probably like a lot of great stuff that people have written over the years that just like the scene between the student and the teacher and nobody else ever gets to read it kind of thing. So
yeah. And I think that's what excites people about blogging. And you know, I was reflecting on some of my experiences before we're going to have this time together. And I thought about, well, what is it about my career in terms of where I want to go and how does that intersect with blogging? And you know, when I started my PhD program, I wanted to be a faculty member. You know, I do some of that now. I teach in a few different courses in the programs, and I love it. I love teaching. I don't know that I love the tenure track research kind of life of a young faculty member. I don't know that I enjoy that part of it. I enjoy the teaching, but not necessarily that. And I thought about why is it that maybe I'm looking more of going back into practice now? And I think the reason behind that is blogging, text, social media, all of that, that ability to put your information out there directly to consumers, meaning not going through a portal such as a journal or some other kind of process, but the ability to just get it out there and get it out there immediately is really appealing to me. And I think it's appealing to a lot of people to be able to do that because it just makes it so much more accessible. It allows you to do some things that maybe go against the grain or the norm. That might be a little bit more interesting. And so that's what I really love about blogging is that ability to kind of have open access to information, but also removes the barriers to publishing.
Yeah.
And that fits more with, I think, who I am and my personality and wanting to do a lot of different things and experiment and do this. Okay, now we're going to move over here and try this. And it helps with that.
Yeah. That's like a word that I keep thinking of in a lot of different ways. It's just like having sort of like organizations or the structures that we have for things being more like nimble would be like the buzzword that I keep like bouncing around in my head. And it is like blogs and just like this different kind of information network or like your personal learning network. I know a lot of people call it just like being able to be more nimble and versus like you're saying, going through like a journal or waiting to go to like, some other kind of formal structure to learn something. Like people can just say something that they want to say immediately with their blog posts, or like, you know, kind of get stuff out there unfiltered and kind of, you know, kind of be more nimble and stuff. That's why it is definitely interesting to me as well. I know that some of your, you know, it's one outcome, I guess, of what some of the stuff you put out there, some of the positive outcomes. You've had certain posts kind of go viral, as they say. So if you want to talk about that and as well, just any other, I guess, like positive outcomes, like you said, it sort of is an outlet for you to get your name out there and get out to the world. Maybe just some examples of, you know, the hard work that you've put into this blog, what it sort of resulted in.
Yeah. I'll start with a viral piece since you happen to mention that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I wrote a funny post. I think my first one was with the Tim Gunn Student Affairs Professional. So a series of memes of if Tim Gunn worked in student affairs, what would he say?
Right.
And I put that out there. I'd played around with it for a while, but I hadn't actually posted anything. But I finally decided to put it out there and see what happened. And so I started posting a few funny posts like that, because the ideas would just come to my head, not thinking much of it, actually wondering if I should. Mm-hmm. You know, how would that change perceptions of professionalism and things like that if you kind of delve into the area of humor, not just because there's an expectation we can't bring humor to our work, but also because humor can kind of sometimes work, you know, travel on an edge of what's appropriate, what's not, what are you trying to say, and
yeah,
things like that. And so I put it out there, not thinking much of it. And though they started to go like mini viral, if something can go viral within a student affairs circle. And it was the 20 courses missing from your higher ed student affairs master's program that was the biggest one of all of them, that hit 10,000 hits in a day, which if people don't know too much about blogging, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Within our field anyways, within, you know, our kind of niche. And then I went over 20. And that's been fascinating to watch, not only for watching those numbers come in, because it was interesting to watch when that was happening, like, oh, it's still going. But also because now when I go to conferences, I'm known as that guy. They know me from those posts, right?
Yeah.
I love to think that my scholarly work is what I'm known best for, but unfortunately it's memes with Grumpy Cat Legos instead, which is fine. But, you know, that's been, it's had some hidden benefits of really connecting with me to people that I haven't connected to before, also elevating some of my other posts. So, you know, come for the humor, stay for a little bit of scholarly or other thought work, and it's been really a positive thing. You know, the connections are really probably the biggest benefit out of doing the blogging, I think, is,
mm-hmm.
I've met great people this way, engaged in great conversation. It helps with my dissertation writing, just to write. Some people might think it might distract from it, but I actually think it accelerates my writing because it gets me in the mode of writing constantly,
right?
Better. You know, it also helps me out in connecting me with other people that might help out with my dissertation, because you'd be surprised how many people reach out and say, oh, I read this on your blog, have you looked at this, or should I connect you with this person, or made connections for you. And that networking kind of aspect to it is huge. It's absolutely huge. You never know what's going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Within that, you know, people that know me or follow my blog know that I have a relationship with JetBlue, and it's a funny story, but by the same token, it's also kind of connected me with a lot of different people through my travels and things like that that have been kind of serendipitous that I never would have happened otherwise. And so, you know, that's what it comes down to, is really the connections and the random things that may occur just by putting yourself out there.
Yeah. I think I'll have to definitely, because I read all the like the stories of your adventures with JetBlue. I'll have to like specifically connect those or link those ones in the show notes, because yeah, those were just like, it's a really great story and like a really neat kind of thing that came of all this. But yeah, and just sort of going into like some actionable kind of tips and stuff, because again, like we've
sort of touched on a little bit of how you sort of do things in your workflow and kind of getting stuff out there. But just any other kind of quick tips, I guess, for people to maybe get started with it, or especially just kind of keep up with a blog, and just anything to help people with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think the first thing I ask folks, because sometimes people reach out to me and ask me these kinds of questions. The first thing is, what is your goal? What is it you want to achieve? And in some cases, for some people, it's just a place to put their own thoughts. If other people read it, that's great. There's some interaction, but it's not really done for other people. It's done for themselves. And for other people, it is to gain maybe an audience or enter into a community or, you know, have their thoughts be more widely read or known or engaged with. And so I think when it comes down to starting a blog or what you want to do with it, you have to think about, what is your ultimate goal? Mm-hmm. If I look at my goal, if I were to explain what mine is, it's evolved over time, as I think everyone's will. But my goal is to engage with other people around the topics I'm passionate about that I'm doing my research on. That's probably one of them. Two is to be more widely known as an expert, because it also, like I said, helps with funding my full-time PhD study by doing speaking engagements and things like that. So that helps. So for me, there is an aspect of, I want things to be widely read and shared. And so traffic, to a certain extent, matters to me. And I think those are probably my main goals, but it can be different for a lot of people. And that should really drive what your blog is. At a minimum, I would say, everyone needs to think about either a blog or even just a simple web presence is increasingly important. So you don't necessarily have to blog, but maybe you should establish some kind of beachhead on the internet, be it through an About Me, which is a website that creates a mini homepage profile, one page kind of thing. So something simple like that. You don't have to go all the way into wade into blogging, but having some form of professional presence to influence when people Google you, what they find is important.
Mm-hmm.
Having accountability partners when you're writing, that's helped out a lot for me. Josie Alquist has helped me quite a bit. In fact, I just had a call with her the other day where we just caught up on a whole bunch of things. I jokingly refer to her as my digital girlfriend. And so my digital girlfriend kind of keeps me in line, and I keep her in line. And so an accountability partner to help you kind of writing ahead, like I said before, helps for those times when you're really busy versus the down times. That kind of keeps you on a regular path in terms of posting. And lastly, I'd say, think about it as a, I call it weaving. There's probably a technical term for this that I haven't yet found, but when I look at my online presence and I look at my blog and I look at all my social media accounts and all these other things, I try to have them all mutually support each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I post a blog, I then tweet it out, I put it on Facebook, I put it on Google+, and I put it out on LinkedIn. Well, LinkedIn also has a publishing feature now. And so not just posting it on my blog, I also publish it on LinkedIn. And so I try to weave all these things together, kind of like a, you know, rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And think about your presence as a unified entity. How can they all interact and connect with each other? Is something that helps elevate that space. If you're looking to have more traffic, connect with other people and things like that, if that's your goal, that's a good way to achieve it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've told a lot of people, just like, especially students, when you kind of talk about this stuff, is because like, I think sometimes we'll talk to them a lot about like scaring them straight kind of thing, or like to try and hide everything. But like putting out a presence, like you're saying, sort of is like, you kind of positively control the conversation of, yeah, somebody Googles you, they're going to see your awesome blog, your awesome About Me page, or your, you know, your Facebook, or all this other stuff that you like, you control, you put out what you want to do, you know, what you want out there. And yeah, trying to helps like spin it a different way where it's like, it can help you. It's not just like, oh, you can only get in trouble by being on Facebook and Twitter and all these different kind of things. Like, so that definitely is a huge piece. And definitely noting that like, not everybody has to have, you know, a blog of the same nature or any of those kind of things, but definitely agree that having sort of a beachhead out there is really important.
Yeah. When I do some talks with usually undergraduate students, if I'm talking more about kind of career development, probably seniors, or graduate students in higher ed and student affairs. And I do this kind of, how do you create a self-presentation, you know, online, or how do you influence that? The first thing I have people do is Google themselves. And so the premise of that whole presentation is, you know, other people are going to say things about you, then there's nothing that you can do about that. And they're going to show up in search results. People are going to find it, whatever. What you can do is you can put out your own information and try to shape that in the way that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you can't, Google's not going to listen to your request to take down this one little picture, you know, that's on their search results. They're not going to do it. So the only way that you can do that is to put out your own content to push that other stuff down. And that's really the start of this, you know. And you don't have to be a blogger or do something really complex in order to influence that. You know, some people might be interested in that, some not. That's okay. But you do at least need to be aware of what's going on there and probably make a decision as to what, at a minimum, do you think you need to put out there to be visible or to exist. You know, if you're not online, do you still exist anymore? I don't know.
It's debatable. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
So that's all good stuff.
Well, there was this cartoon I saw recently that said some guy was typing on a computer and someone came over to him and said, if a tree falls in a forest and no one blogs about it, did the tree actually fall? So I think that kind of highlights that.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, Pixar didn't happen law of the internet. Yeah, it's just like you have to provide proof.
Exactly.
As we're wrapping up, in is there anything like books or any other resources or articles or sites or any sort of stuff that you want to share with folks just as like resources to kind of go plug into if they're interested?
Yeah. You know, I don't read a lot about blogging per se. Of course, I read a lot about social media, which is related. Of course, Ray Hunko just came out with his book 2-3 months ago. And that's his book is probably the best resource out there right now. It's kind of comprehensively puts all the information into one place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that actually was really helpful for me to read through that. It was also really reassuring because a lot of the things that he put in that book, I had been writing in my dissertation. And so to see it kind of validated was amazing. And so I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had that earlier because then it would have saved me a lot of time doing this research. I could have just seen it right here. But his book's really great in terms of at least setting a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm working on a collaboration with Eric Qualman on a piece that will come out in probably around the March timeframe if everything works out. And so that's exciting. I can't talk too much about it, but it will be on kind of self-presentation. You know, he's done some work on this before. What happens in Vegas stays on YouTube. And so we're working on something related to that. So I think that's going to be huge. I'm really excited about that. And so those are kind of the things that I'm playing around with. Other things I'm reading are geeky, nerdy research articles. I don't know that the audience cares about those too much. I can always share those if someone wanted to hear them, but that's when you're a PhD student, you don't read for pleasure. So
yeah, that's all right. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that is anymore. So most of mine is work related right now.
Yeah. And definitely if people are interested in like getting specific recommendations from you for articles and stuff, we'll have all your contact info in the show notes. So and just as we wrap up, what are some of your final thoughts in true essay chat fashion on blogging and student affairs and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah. Connect with others. That's the best way to go about doing this and the most interesting part about it. You know, I will put in a little self-serving plug is that I'm presenting with some folks at both ACPA and NASPA on this very topic about blogging in student affairs. And so at NASPA, I'm presenting with Josie Alquist, Renee Dowdy, Marcy Walton. And then at ACPA, it will be myself, again, my digital girlfriend, Josie Alquist, Jason Merriweather, Heather Shea Gasser, and Kristen Abel on the same topic. And we're doing a panel. This is something that they had done last year, actually, at NASPA. I wasn't a part of the panel last year, but we're kind of repeating it and taking it to the next level for this coming year. And so those will be great opportunities to connect with other people. And I think that's really what it comes down to as far as my final thought is connecting with other people that are doing this, because it's very motivating to find other people that are passionate about this and people that you can learn small tips from or things of that sort. to kind of go forward, because there's no textbook on this, really. I mean, there's certainly resources out there that you can read, but I think blogging is always different depending on where you're coming into the conversation. And, you know, we're coming in from a higher ed student affairs lens as well as kind of an academia lens, and so that changes things. So connections always help.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, because I think even like no matter where you are kind of in the journey, if you're like you want to just start, or I think I'm getting to a point where it's like I think like I could get insight from other people how to like get to the next step. So it's like if you're a beginner, intermediate, expert, there's always kind of new stuff to learn. It's definitely great to make connections versus just like, oh, I'll just read a bunch of anonymous like articles or whatever, like kind of what, you know, that kind of stuff, and get a nice community of people around you to help you succeed and help others succeed. So that's a good place to end on. So thank you so much, Paul, for sitting down and chatting for a little bit. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Dustin. It was great.
All right. Talk to you later.
All Bye. Right. Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Student Affairs Spectacular Podcast. As always, please leave us your comments and feedback for the podcast. It really helps us out. Give us any ideas for guests or topics for the episodes. We really appreciate it.